Today's guest is Marion Barnick, and Marion is a registered kinesiologist and movement therapist. She particularly helps, she's very passionate, in particular, about helping women who are recovering from breast cancer or breast cancer surgery and treatment. So you wouldn't think, at least for me, I haven't experienced that, thank God, but it's not something that I think about needs therapy. And we talk about that in this episode. I always think, oh yeah, knee replacement or joint issues, yeah, therapy. But yeah, having breasts removed or just going through chemo treatments, even a lumpectomy, those people, cancer patients need therapy just like anybody else when they've gone through some type of surgery. She is clearly passionate about what she does. Her energy is off the charts. In fact, the two of us together is like energy 10x, you know? So I love her. She is so giving. She talked about a free Facebook group she has, which we share the link or the group name, and she's got a lot of free stuff on her website. You might want to follow up with her, but she clearly is knowledgeable in her field. She gets a little sciencey, but she clearly is just a gem in terms of what, you know, how she's serving in the world and how passionate she is about what she does. And it started at a very young age. Her interest in what she does started at a very young age, although she does talk about her little midlife hiccup when she turned 40. So that was quite a shocker, but she clearly recovered from that. So without further ado, let's get right to the episode. Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that your younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul. Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives, and I have with me Marion Barnick, and we have been talking for 25 minutes, so just getting to know each other, and I had so many questions for her, so I think this is going to be a really great interview, and you'll learn a lot. Marion is, I'm going to let her explain it, but she is basically helps cancer patients with therapy. She's a movement specialist. She has a kinesiology, if I can even pronounce that correctly, background, bachelor of science degree. She's somebody who really knew from a young age what she wanted to do, but she's navigated along the way, and she's taken her a lot of what she does offline online, which is a great way in this COVID pandemic era to be able to have a specialty that you can take online. Sometimes it takes a little bit of a, you know, creativity, but she's so interesting. Had her child at 40, and then I don't know if you were dumped or what, but she's going to get into that. But I love the story, Marion. You have to talk about this first, about how your ailment with your knee, like, led you down that path, because I'm so much about like what happens to us leads us to our ultimate purpose, and sometimes we find it later, but you found it very early. So I'm going to turn it over to you and go ahead and introduce yourself, what you're passionate about, and how you kind of transitioned at that midpoint when you realized you were kind of on your own.
So, absolutely. Laurie, thank you so much. First of all, thank you for the opportunity to be part of your podcast. It is just excellent information for women. I say women in general, but you know what? It's just fantastic from a motivational standpoint and from a healing standpoint. And truly, that's what I'm about when we talk about movement, because that is my passion. My passion is movement. And I 100% believe that movement can make you feel better. And I'm not just talking about the physical ailments. I'm talking about, especially during this time right now with COVID, and when we are locked away and when we can't see family and friends, and when so much in our world has changed, the psychological issues, the emotional issues, and when you are having to bunker down on your own, movement can be an awesome approach to help with also the mental health and the emotional issues, as well as how the body's moving. And I have witnessed it myself with my own body and my own healing and things I've gone through with the thousands and thousands of patients I've worked with over 25 plus years. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. I love it. And the embarrassment to my son when, you know, we would be out somewhere, whether it's at Whole Foods or the Gap, and I see someone moving and I'm like, do you have a problem with your hip?
That must be so hard.
And it's just, oh my gosh, how do you know?
And not so, like your son's probably going, Mom, be quiet.
Well, now it's like, oh yeah. Yeah. She's going to help you.
So you had a knee issue. You're a runner, and it, and sometimes I guess things like that are just genetic, because it seems like you're really young and you should be.
You know what? It could be genetic, definitely, but it. You know what? To find the place where it starts, I think sometimes we bang our heads against the wall trying to figure out why or how, and we don't look at actually the healing part of it. And that's what happened to me. I was a track and field runner in high school. I loved my sprinting. I was pretty good at it. And my knee started hurting. And the training, when you're doing mileage as well, to get yourself in shape, I could not do that. So we were cutting down the mileage, sent to specialists, sports medicine, you know, what's wrong, this, that, how are your shoes, what's going on with this?
Did they look at your nutrition?
They did not, no. We're talking back in the 80s, girl. Yeah. No, we aren't looking at nutrition. We're looking at, you know, even looking at sneakers. If you had a pair and it said Nike on it or a name that someone knew, they must be okay. No one even looked at the biomechanics of running and how you were moving. But let's put orthotics in your shoes. So you get measured for orthotics and you get orthotics, or, you know, they, back then it was a Q angle, you know, my hips were out wider. So, oh yeah, your knees are going to hurt.
But yeah. You know, what's funny. I had this thought. There's somebody that lives in my neighborhood and he's like, he teaches PhD, like biochemistry PhD people at the college by me. And he gets paid big bucks by the NFL to look at the tennis shoes or the sneakers or whatever you want to call them that their players use.
That's you're not talking Gray Cook, are you?
No. Okay. Yeah.
I think he's a Virginia boy.
Okay. Well, my friend probably knows him, but yeah.
Probably, yes. But it is all encompassing and all, you know, all of those things work together, but I didn't get that approach. I got it. Try this, try that, not, oh, this is your movement strategy. Here's the problem. These muscles aren't firing. Your gait's doing this. You're leaning more to one side. Let's work on strengthening this. There was none of that. And I bounced around from doc to doc and therapist to therapist and really frustrated with wanting so badly to run, wanting so badly to reach my potential, and having this pain that no one was talking to a solution. So I went to see one of the clinics I was at. There was a woman there that sort of combined the East-West medicine. She had acupuncture that was going on. We talked about meridians, but she also studied something very bizarre called kinesiology. And I'm young, I'm kinesiologist, what? So it's a study of biomechanics, of movement, of how the body moves. And it's treatment based on diagnosing the movement strategies of the body. I'm like, whoa, this is really interesting. I might like this. And you know what? That's what I did. So I did my undergrad degree in kinesiology. So I have my Bachelor of Science in kinesiology. I've done further study, some with Gray Cook and functional movement screening, whether it's kinesiotaping, there's so much to learn, and there's always more to learn about how the body moves and diagnosing movement disorders. And that's what I loved. It wasn't initially what I got into, because when you're a new grad, I worked with patients. I started developing my skills as a functional evaluator. And I was really good at that part of it. So I got called into court as an expert witness, had a large company, well, not large, but I mean, not just me, I had staff that worked, we did well, we worked with the large insurance companies, I traveled across Canada doing assessments.
So yeah, and so I would love to, I'm thinking about my listeners and how we can help them. And one of the things that I learned at midlife, which it was like totally new news to me, but I had knee surgery I had a ski accident when I was 15, turned 16. By the time I had my knee surgery, I like limped around for like 2 months before they figured out what was wrong. My dad was mad at me for going skiing. So that was my penalty, is he wouldn't take me to the doctor. But anyways, fast forward, you know, I got my knee fixed, right? I had almost a year of therapy, but all was good. Had a bad scar, but other than that, so.
We'll compare some point in time. Yeah, for sure.
I get to my 50s and I have this horrible pain shooting down my side. And I was doing a lot of running, you know, nothing extensive, like 3 miles was my thing. And I just started getting this really like bad pain. I thought, oh, my knee is messed up again. And so my husband plays rugby and we were at one of his games and one of the wives was a chiropractor and she saw me and she's like, are you okay? Because I was like visibly limping and I was like, no, I mean, I'm just like in a lot of pain. And she said, well, let me look at you. And she's like, you're totally out of alignment. She said one hip was like here and the other hip was there. And so, you know, I'm sure based on talking to you that what you deal with a lot is what you see is people that had past injuries that, yeah, surgery cured it. But like mentally, what I've learned that I do is I carry my carriage, I guess, is I'm always favoring my left side, no matter what. Even if I'm not in pain, I'm always protecting that knee. And so what I learned, the value of, I'm sure you do very similar stuff, but with my chiropractor, I learned the value of going in and getting aligned because I get out of alignment very easily. It's nothing that it's so subconscious to me when that happens. But when I start to get like an ache on my left side, I'm like, oh, I know it's time to go in and get it aligned.
And I'm actually going to correct you on that. The time was before you've got the symptom. The symptoms the symptoms will speak to the patient and let them know something's wrong, but it's already wrong. And that's what I was finding. So I was doing these functional assessments and people would come in and whether it was they were off work, it was disability, they had had surgery, they were preparing to go back to work. And I would, you know, test to see what their function is, but I'd be watching their body and I wouldn't know why. And so I would get so pulled into saying, well, you know why you can't lift that? You're not doing this and this foot isn't here and you're not having your weight this way. And, you know, you've turned and oh my gosh, it lit me up so much to be able to put the pieces of the puzzle together to solve an issue and to help. And
you're so right because that's what she says is that, and that's what chiropractors and kinesiologists are. They're preventive. They're preventive. Whereas like a doctor that you go to like to repair a knee, they're like reactive, like it's happened, you know. And that's what I was actually had seen an orthopedic surgeon and he had put me in physical therapy, but they didn't get to the root of the source of the problem. So exercise is really key that you're preventing it, right? You're doing those things on a regular basis to prevent that from happening. So I'm so glad you corrected me on that. Yes.
Sorry, I had to.
She stresses to like, you know, you need to do maintenance. You know, you need to come in every like so often, like every on a regular basis where I tend to be more like, oh, I need help now.
You know what? The symptoms talk to us. And when I talk to my patients and my clients, that's what I say. The symptoms are talking to you. Your body's talking to you. You may not know how to read it. You may not know the story of your body. So the symptoms will talk to you and give you that information. I think my expertise comes in being able to listen to the story without having to hear those symptoms. And even with, you know, doing the assessments, or I would have patients to come, yes, it is preventative. And yes, we look at being proactive versus reactive. But you know what? We are a reactive society. And so many patients I would see would be, okay, I want to get better. I didn't do this. How do I recover? How do I get better? And there's so many points where what you think is wrong is not at the root of that issue. Mm-hmm. Like I may say for you, I haven't evaluated you, but that knee issue may have happened because of the hip malalignment. You may have had compensatory movements that came into the weakest area of your body, which is your knee. And that's what I've been finding with patients who, I love the shoulders, I love the knees, and probably because I've had all the work done on those areas, that's, you know, where I really hone in on my skills. And because of working with breast cancer patients and survivors, the shoulders are an area that sometimes gets left out.
And well, we didn't talk about that. So tell me a little bit about how you got into helping cancer patients. And when we were talking earlier, before I pressed record, what Marion was saying and what I said to her is nobody really realizes that breast cancer, you need therapy. You think, oh, I hurt my knee, or I hurt my elbow, or I hurt my shoulder. You think about the joints needing therapy to get them back into form, you know, using those appendages. But when you think of a cancer patient and like maybe a breast removal, or even not even to that degree, but like there are really, you need therapy for that is what you were saying to me.
And it's funny because that was a school of thought for such a long period of time where you'd say, okay, well, I've had, you know, a lumpectomy, a mastectomy, you know, there's so many different types of surgeries that you can have. You may have chemo first, you could have chemo, you could have radiation. And my work as a functional evaluator brought me in touch with cancer patients who were going back to work. And the one that really hit home for me was a lady who had breast cancer. She had had her surgery. She had had chemo and radiation, and it was 2 years post-treatment, and the insurance company was looking to send her back. And I asked her about her rehab. She said, no. I'm a breast cancer survivor. I didn't have rehab. And I sat back and I thought, no therapy, no movement, no training, depletion of your mobility, your stability, your strength, not even going into the mental health and the emotional ties to being able to move again and do things that you want to do. And yeah, we're doing a functional assessment. This woman cannot reach overhead. This woman cannot get dressed properly on her own. She can't pull sweaters over her head. She is getting by. And she is settling.
Yeah, and I love you bring in the mental mental aspect of that as well.
It was so true. She was supposed to be happy she was alive. And that was it. That's all she was supposed to be able to ask for, that she was alive. You should be so happy you're alive. And it's like, oh my gosh, where's her life? Where's her life? This woman is over 50. She still gets to have a life. But no, her shoulder wasn't moving. And then the lymphedema that was setting in. And then,
yeah, that's a good, I mean, I know what you're talking about, because my husband's cousin, her arm from the treatments is swollen. And I don't think, she's been hospitalized a couple times. I've been married to my husband for 11 years. Her cancer surgery was before I was even in the picture. So she's still dealing with the swollen arm. And people just don't realize that what the treatment does to the body as well as just the surgery.
If we just dive into that for a moment, the treatment, there are short-term effects, and we know about the fatigue and the nausea and the vomiting and the loss of muscle mass and all of those hideous issues. There are also long-term issues from chemotherapy, from radiation, which affects the muscles, affects the heart, affects the lungs, affects the bones. So your increased risk of osteoporosis is incredible depending on the type of chemo that you've had. Your increased risk of having cardiac issues are because of your cancer treatment. So yes, we want that treatment. You want to be alive. You don't want to have a terrible, when you go in your prognosis, you want those drugs. But then you look at the long-term effects, and that's where the movement and the exercise not only help with the initial symptoms, so exercise, excuse me, helps with the fatigue and the nausea and all of those issues post-surgery. I can do much anymore. But the long-term issues, so when you look at cardiac issues, bone issues, weight gain, weight loss, muscle loss, but what I was finding is, A, back in the day, no one was providing rehabilitation to breast cancer patients. And this woman just triggered in my head that we can do something. I know that I can help her move better. I knew it. I just knew. And that's where I started my research. I started looking online. I started reading articles. I started making calls. I found this awesome gym in Santa Barbara, California, where Julie Main was doing rehabilitation because she was a breast cancer survivor. Her oncologist was wondering why she wasn't getting all these symptoms from chemo. She was running. She was a runner. She kept running. And her symptoms were negligible. So they looked at that and said, hey, what are we going to do about this? We should study this. And so I was so blessed to be able to bring this to Sunnybrook Hospital, which is a huge hospital in Toronto, amazing cancer clinic there, and the Odette Center. So I brought my program. I developed a program for post-surgical breast cancer patients. And I worked with the breast cancer patients and the prostate cancer patients to look at movement therapy post-treatment. So
you live in Toronto. So were you living there then? Or
I was living there then. I had my clinic doing the functional assessments, and I'm like, wait a minute, full turn. We are doing this. I need to help cancer patients. So it took so long, as you would know, with dealing with the bureaucracy and the large cancer centers and the hospitals. But my program got approved. I got to do the first studies with movement therapy with Odette and Sunnybrook. I had my group come into my gym. I got to work with, oh my gosh, it was awesome. And this was 2006. So I was pregnant at the time. I was 40.
I was just going to ask you, how this coincide with your whole divorce? And
yeah, I was pregnant. I was doing the first tests with breast cancer and prostate cancer patients. I was, you know, my program was just approved, and I'm like, boom, 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 growing. And I'm 40. So I'm like, okay, getting a little tired. And so I had my son the end of December, and April, marriage gone, husband gone, 4-month-old baby, business to run. There's a lot of changes going on.
And did you see it coming?
No.
Wow.
No.
That's tough.
I say that, and yes, I mean, hindsight's 20/20, and you know, were there issues? Of course there's issues, but you know, I'm such an optimist where we'll work on them. Everything will be fine. Everything will be great. And yeah, and you know, life gives you lessons or puts you into battle, you deal. Mm-hmm. And it truly was. I mean, my WellFit program with my cancer patients had to be put on hold. I couldn't continue working on that. You know, you're surviving. You're in that such a survivor mode. And, you know, having
and that's why I like to talk about this, because, you know, people see success and when guests come on here, you know, they're passionate, they're loving what they're doing, but before that it wasn't so good and they overcame it. And so you're such a great example of that, clearly so passionate about what you do, but even though you're knocked down, you know, it didn't knock you out. You just bounced back. And clearly, did you move to Toronto as a result of that?
I was in Toronto, so I graduated from University of Waterloo. I'd moved to Toronto for work, larger city. So I had opened up my clinic here and, working with the patients, working with the large insurance companies. It was just a good base. And because I was traveling across Canada, I mean, that's my hub of what I would do. So they would fly me out from East Coast to West Coast to do these assessments.
So how did you end up though, from California to Toronto?
Oh no, I wasn't in California. No, but I worked with them on putting together the program that really was facilitated from Santa Barbara. And then I got to have my WellFit program in Toronto. And that got put on hold. My son's 4 months old. I'm a single mom. I, you know, three dogs and a cat at home. And it's like, what are we doing?
What did you do? So you're here, you're left with a 4-month old baby. You put your program on hold. What did you do to reset and, you know, climb back out of that what seems like a desperate hole that you got dropped.
Oh, it was, yeah. I mean, it was.
Did you move home?
No, I don't have, no. Family, I have, my brothers are awesome. My youngest brother is amazing support for me. And I think it really tests your faith. It really does when you look at not being able to see how to climb out, not being able to see, like, how do I run a business? How do I take care of a 4-month-old? And the weekend my husband left, my dad died. So we'll just throw that in there as well. Yeah, it was a dark time, not to make light of it. It's been a long time. My son is 13 now, so it's been a healing process, right? But when I'm anxious, when I'm stressed, when I cannot figure out how to get through and what to do, I would move. I would run. I needed my energy, my kinesthetic way that I move and what I do is movement based. And I would grab a dog, I would go out and I would run. And that clarity would come to me, whether it was the energy that had to flow through my body, whether it was just the unleashing of, you know, whatever those blocks were, I needed to move. So even when my son was young, I would take the dogs, I would take that stroller, and 6 p.m. every night, we would be up at the dog park and we would be there, and I needed just to get out and move. So then when my knee and my, you know, I had this very bizarre bone diagnosis of basically the bones in my knee fracturing and dying. And
Was that with age or was that when you were younger? Is that what?
No, this is my son was, when was that? 40, mid 40s. So he was young, 4 or 5, single mom.
Is this related though to having knee problems when you were younger?
No.
Oh, no. Wow.
Sudden onset. No issue, no knowledge. I'm talking to my orthopedic surgeon. He's looking at the x-rays like, who like kicked you in the knee? Who? Yeah, and I, no one. He goes, well, you're not leaving here walking on that knee. Like, it's gone. It's done. I'm like, no, I've got a son to take care of. We can't do that. And that's where I ended up having to have a partial knee replacement and couldn't have it done in Canada. I went down to Cleveland to have that done. And my surgeon was awesome, but
and so how old were you at that time? Then you were
mid 40s.
Wow.
Yeah.
My husband had a partial knee replacement, and it hurts. Rehab is the worst. After having my knee surgery and the rehab that I had to go through,
when you were 16,
surgery on anybody.
Add 30 years to that and the healing process a little slower. But you know what? It again really helped me focus on how you're moving, what you're doing, because I was on crutches, couldn't move, couldn't walk up the stairs, couldn't put my son to bed and tuck him in because I couldn't get up the stairs. I couldn't move. I gained 50 pounds. Ooh. I couldn't do anything except be on crutches. And yeah.
For those of you that listen to this, she looks amazing. So
you're so sweet. Thank you.
Yeah.
We're always a work in progress. And I'm not, you know.
You got rid of those.
Well, and again, working on that. And it takes a while, but it really, really helps me to understand. Maybe not the same diagnosis, maybe not the same issues, but the same, possibly, because we're all different and we handle it differently, but when you feel like SHIT, when you think nothing else can ever go wrong because you're at the bottom, when you can't move, when you can't take care of your family, all of those things, the financial aspects of it, what are you gonna do? So having been there, I really feel a genuine pull to help. And especially when we're at a certain age and we may have given up, we may think this is all I can do. And it's like, no. You can do it. You can do it.
Yeah, I know I've said this on a previous episode. So if I'm repeating myself, I'm sorry, listeners. But it's really an important point is when I started working out when I was age 55 and doing like religious like workouts out of my home. And I had some knee pain, but I pushed through. It was never anything that would prevent me from working out. It wasn't that like, yikes, you know, it was just like, ugh, you know, it was just getting back into it. And the more my muscles firmed up, the more weight I lost, because I think I lost a total of like, I didn't have a lot to lose, but I think I lost like 17 pounds or something, I think.
And on a petite frame, that's a good amount of weight, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I say I've always, my whole life, I'm always wanting to lose 10 pounds. So I lost 17. It was great. But, and that was over like a 5-month period. So it wasn't like any drastic weight loss, but my knee by the end of the first program that I did, which was like a 10 weeks long, 2.5 months, I had no knee pain, none. And all I did was make my knee stronger.
I'm going to stop you there because you didn't just make your knee stronger. And that's where, this is such a push for me. I work with the Foundations First framework, and the foundations of movement, whether you're healing, whether you're proactive, whether you're coming back from surgery, knee pain, my breast cancer patients, the foundations have to be in place. So before you could make it stronger, and you may not be aware of it, you had good range of motion. You had mobility in that knee. So there wasn't anything where you would go to bend your knee and say, oh, I can't get any further. Or the hip had the mobility. You have to have that mobility in your joints before you can make it stronger. And I think too, there's a lot of push. I know for sure within the breast cancer community, and I know a lot with women as well, especially because of issues as we get older with osteoporosis, with our changes in posture. I know from an ergonomic standpoint, because I've been working in ergonomics as well, when I help people get back to work and they say, oh, I just need, my spine needs to be stronger, or my legs need to be stronger, or I need, the stronger is used in such a term that it doesn't give us the true identifying issues that we may have, which could be mobility issues. It could be range of motion. It could be an imbalance and asymmetries with our body. So when we look at the compensatory issues, so if you had that weight on you, where was that weight? Did you carry it like a European woman where we carry it more in a certain area? Do you have the thin legs and maybe carry it in the front with pulls on the back? All of these changes with the weight change our biomechanics, change how we move. And so as that weight drops and you can improve your mobility and you can improve your biomechanics and your alignment, yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's going to be amazing how that drop in weight will help, because of the shift that allows the body to get back to its natural place where it wants to be. The body wants to be in a state of maximal ability. It wants to be in that state where those joints don't hurt when they move. It wants to be in a state where everything flows. And that flow is not just the energy and not just the joints, but all the portions of the body, the soft tissues, the ligaments, and the tendons. And with age, with damage, with surgery, with all of those different things that happen, the body learns how to compensate, because we still need to function. We still need to get up to pee. We still need to eat. We still need to get to rest. So
yeah, and I think pain, you know, and what I learned from that too, is because I think I had this mindset at 55 of, well, you know, I had knee surgery, you know, I have a bad knee and it's all going to hurt. It's all going to hurt for the rest of my life. And I didn't realize I could actually be pain-free. And so that was a huge lesson for me. And I think sometimes pain is just your body saying, help me.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. It's talking to you. Absolutely. It's telling you something's wrong.
And we're ignoring it. Like the little child who needs mommy. We're just like ignoring it. Like we're on our phone. So we're just ignoring it, you know? Yeah. So what would you say? I am just a very good probably test case, because like right now I'm supposed to be doing exercises every day to keep my, you know, because I'm having this issue on my side has returned a little bit. And honestly, it's from sitting too much. She said, you know, because I love what I do and I tend to be on the computer a lot. Mm-hmm. So if you can think that like you get pain from sitting too much, then that might be your problem. That's my problem. So anyways, I've gone back. She's like, I'm on a regular schedule now, which is really great. but she wants me to do these exercises every day. And if I don't do them, she's going to know, right?
Oh, we know. Trust me. I know when my patients come back and we do our weekly check-ins, or what I do is I'll send little notes to say, aha, today was supposed to be blah, blah, blah. What did you do, right? I know, and you will. And again, we're talking about how the mind works with the body. You will forget the ones that are the hardest and forget the ones you hate. You will forget those ones. You'll do the easy ones. You're like, oh yeah, I did this one, I did this move and that move, whatever they are. But those ones that are super hard, somehow they go to the end of the line. You may not have time. You may forget about it. That piece of paper that it was on. Oh, you just, it look, got lost. So yeah, we know.
Yeah. So I can't lie, I can't like be dishonest and, you know, I can't do that. So anyways, I have such a hard time doing the exercises and they're not that bad. And so I just like force myself. And like, if we're watching, my husband and I like to watch these Netflix series. Yeah. So I'll just like, you know, I'll get off the couch and go like lay down and force myself. But usually it's at the end of the day at night. And it's like, why can't I do this? One thing that I've helped recently is I really have gotten out of the regular exercise, gotten a real bad habit, just like being a slouch. So I've really like put that back into my routine and do it early. So, you know, that's just for me. It just works, like get it done early. So I just need to add those exercises into that. But
accountability. Yeah. Accountability is so important. And two aspects I want to talk about with that, because I know that when I do my online training with my patients, when I like my breast cancer course for post-surgical breast cancer patients called Your Next Move. One of the big components of that is accountability, because you know what? Best of intentions or knowing that something's good doesn't mean we're going to do it. You may know that Brussels sprouts are awesome. It doesn't mean you're going to eat your Brussels sprouts. And that's the same thing. And especially when there's confounding factors, you love your job. You're sitting too much to do your job. You may have aches and pains. And I look at my clients that come in and there are a million reasons, fatigue, inability to eat, going for treatment. So when I moved my program onto an online source of information to feed whenever you want, in your PJs, not putting your wig on, not having to find parking, I mean, I'm trying to take all those excuses away, and I'm also giving you accountability. Because that accountability, I can see what exercises you've gone through. I can see how many times you've opened up that video to do those exercises. So that's the one point, is accountability. And I find this really, really important. To have, I would call myself almost like a coach, to say, you know what, this is what we're going to do. The other part is the mindset, because you're telling yourself you have to do it. I'm going to challenge you and tell you, you know, you want to do it. When you look at it as a task, instead of looking at it as a privilege, you actually get to create a better body. You actually get to see how amazing you can feel. So if you woke up in the morning and said, oh my gosh, today is a day I can make my hip feel better. I can make my knee feel better. And am I worth 5 minutes of stretching this morning before I start my day? I bet you would say yes. And then, you know, just tweaking that little mindset a little bit.
Yeah. I don't know why I got out of it, but it feels so good to be back into it. And I would so 100% agree on the accountability, because when I was doing when I was 55, I say I got in the best shape of my life over this 5 months. I've never been so fit. Even when I was in college, because I wasn't eating well when I was in college. So it might've been like less.
Yeah, sometimes we don't do that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I did an online accountability group, and I had a gym membership, and I was like, I would say, I'm going to work out. And then I was like, I'd skip because nobody was there. I didn't have gym friends. But this, when I did this online thing, it was like, I showed up because I didn't want to be the slacker of the group. And it does, it gives you that psychological kind of, you know, wanting to be in integrity with this like group of people, you know, even though
you don't want to be the one that lets down the group and the slacker at the end, right?
Yeah.
I know, because I have the No Excuses Facebook group for my breast cancer patients. So it is a private group. So questions about how to move, what's not moving well. It's something that's really great where you can post your questions. And I also, little polls that I put in there, little exercises I did a while ago. because I had my car accident last year and I'm waiting again for another knee surgery and I'm waiting again for a hand surgery and I am not allowed to do any weight bearing exercise and I'm supposed to have a big sort of thing on my knee so it doesn't move because there's so much, you know, there's so many issues in there. And with COVID in the way and things like that, you know, it took a while to get the MRIs, but we now know that, okay, yeah, we need some work on there.
Well, you're your own case studies then. You're just developing your own case studies.
Oh, absolutely. But the frustration, I love my mental health and my frustration level and the anxiety and the, you know, all those things that heighten because I don't have that release and the endorphins and getting that energy out and doing my exercise and, you know, gaining the weight and not feeling good about my body. All those things are there. But I took and I videotaped my morning workout, the exercises that I was doing. So this is before the knee got super bad. And I just put it on my No Excuses channel so my patients could see what I was doing and my imbalances and that wasn't working and, you know, the sweat pouring off and the gut hanging out because of the weight gain and the, you know, things, this arm not moving right because I can't, you know, even lifts I'm supposed to do with a ball. I can't lift the ball. So I've got like a fake ball that I put it all on there to say, you know what? I got you. I'm here.
It's motivational. Like I remember when I was working out, I had a frozen shoulder, but I was still doing like one side, you know, and it is motivational. So tell the listeners, I would love to, you have a program called Your Next Move and we'll put that in the show notes. So if anybody wants to follow up, but I worry about, I mentioned this before we press record, is that I worry about in this COVID that people have pushed off their appointments and stuff. So I know I have, I need to get in and get a mammogram. So if anything, this episode can be a PSA to get out there and get your mammogram. So what, and I don't know if you guys are having a resurgence. We're having a little bit of a resurgence of COVID.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. What would you like to say to people who are, you're the people that you're so passionate about that are recovering from cancer surgery or cancer treatment and are not getting therapy? Like,
yeah, it's been a really
importance of this. Yeah.
It's been a really, really tough time for breast cancer patients in general, because you cannot wait for treatment. You have to go in for your chemo. You're going in for radiation. You've been diagnosed. There are, and having your body and your immune system at that level, they are so at risk. So first of all, as a PSA, please, 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 people, please be respectful of others. And even if you don't believe in certain aspects of COVID, please just know that people are at risk. And these are cancer patients. These are patients that are mothers and daughters and wives and sisters. And, you know, we need to make sure they stay safe. So first of all, please. Second of all, yes, you need to move. And yes, we're talking about chemo and we're talking about radiation. We're talking about surgery. But after that, you have to move. You have to move for your mental health. You have to move for your body to get back to your best potential. And when COVID first hit in March, that's something that I did immediately as a free service. Is online exercise classes. No excuses is what I called it, because you know what? I'm online. I will exercise with you. I will take you through. Oh my gosh, the best time, because at different hours and different times and people from, you know, whether it's in Canada, whether it's in California, whether it's in Great Britain, coming online and sharing and learning
that's
how
great.
To move. Yeah. And so that's been amazing. And that's why bringing Your Next Move onto an online format is something that you can do. Join the Facebook group so you have like-minded women that are in there. I know men get breast cancer as well. This group is specifically online for women.
They just would like search.
Go to my website, go to MaryanneBarnwick.com and take a look at the links that are in there to join in. And it is free. Come into the Facebook group and let's talk about movement, because you know what? It will make you feel better.
Yes.
I promise.
Yes.
I honestly got a promise. And that's, even with my course, Your Next Move, I am so convinced based on what's happened with me, what goes on with my patients and my experience, even those, the guarantee for my course, you don't like it, money back, don't worry about it. I just want you to try to move. I just want you to move. I'm so, you know,
yeah,
so
and
passionate
I think
about
also
it.
there's this need for to be in a group with people who are going through similar things to you learn so much about something. You just might hear about something that might help you in your journey. And so I encourage people to seek out people that they can feel that can be support them, that know what they're going through.
And right back at you, Lori, because my patients feed me as well. I get so much back and I learn so much. So it is so simpatico that what you give, you receive. And I have my expertise in movement, but what I learn and what I feel and the good that comes back, it's so awesome. I just love it.
Yeah. Well, you exude number one energy and positivity and passion. So I'm so happy that you're living the life that you love to live and that you have people that are really benefiting. So thank you so much, Marion, for spending this time with me, and we'll see you around.
Absolutely. And I know we'll talk later, and thank you so much for the opportunity to share and do your stretches.
Yes, I will.
Okay, Lori.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at notyouraveragegrandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.